You know what that is at the piano, don't you? It's called a double blessing. Right there. We're going to worship the wonderful song, Blessed Be the Lord, God Almighty.
Was it is and is to come.
day of Father's Day. It's not in the bulletin, but I thought, if anyone wants to give a thanks to the Lord, to the Father above, just something he's done for you or something he's made real to you or just some way to say thank you, God, this would be a good time to do it. If you're here, just shout it out and we'll agree with you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, God, for giving me a reprieve from cancer.
Amen.
I am internally to your debt. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. You're always there for us. Praise your holy name.
Amen. Amen. It's great to see you, Janelle. Amen. Any? Amen.
Thank you, God, for the joy that you bring to our lives.
Amen.
Thank you, God, for leading us to this wonderful church.
Amen.
I thank the Lord that He's a kind and loving Father. I thank you. I thank the Lord that He gave me an earthly kind and loving Father.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your promises, which are all yes and amen in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Well, now we have something that's not in the bulletin, but that's good because it's going to bless everyone, and it's going to surprise one person. You're on.
Yes, it's me. All right, well, we thought that this would be a perfect opportunity to sing a song. It's called Embrace the Cross, and I want to dedicate it to my dad here, who's sitting in the pew right there. And I'm just so blessed to have a godly father and one who understands a lot of what's going on, and I'm just so blessed. So happy Father's Day, Daddy. This is for you.
I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me.
Mm-hmm.
embrace the cross where Jesus suffered, though it will cost all you claim as yours. Your sacrifice will seem small beside the treasure. Eternity can't measure what Jesus holds in store. Embrace the love the cross requires. Cling to the one whose heart knew every pain. Receive from Jesus fountains of compassion. Only he can fashion your heart to move as his. Oh, wondrous cross, our desires rest in you. Oh, Lord Jesus, make us bolder to face with courage the shame and disgrace you bore upon your shoulder. Dying, come trace the steps the Savior walked for you. An empty tomb concludes Golgotha's sorrow. Endure then till tomorrow your cross of suffering. Embrace the cross. The cross, the wondrous cross, the cross of Jesus.
Do you know the cross is the only wood that can embrace you? It's the only wood that can change your life. The Old Testament says, why pray to a God that can't save? Can wood touch you? It can't. But when it's the cross, it has fingers, it has hands, it has heart. It is the only wood that can change. And I'm so grateful for it because it makes all the difference in the world. Message today, take a shine to your father. I used to watch football with my dad. He actually introduced me to the game, and I enjoyed it more when I watched it with him. One, I think it was the Thanksgiving, I can't remember, I'm sure we would have eaten already, but we watched it like for 8 hours. 8 hours. I watched it mainly because it was time I could spend with him. I already learned the game from the first time, so the next two, and I didn't have any vested interest in either of them, but it was fun. Do you know the Heavenly Father wants us to have him in the everydayness of life? He wants to eat with us. He wants to talk to us. He wants to participate in our life. In the Garden of Eden, he walked with Adam and Eve. That was his intention. That's still his intention. Not that we can't pray, we should. Not that we don't read the scripture, we should. We better. But it's more than that. It's connecting with somebody who's alive, who's actually on the other end of the phone, which is fabulous. I would like you to turn to Matthew, the 5th chapter. This is a portion, the Beatitudes, a lot of the teachings of Jesus are here from the mountain. Everything important God did, he did from a mountain. Everything that he explained, whether it would be the Ten Commandments or the Beatitudes, certainly Calvary, the real high points were all on a mountain. Why? So they're visible. They're visible. And we're supposed to be visible. Take a shine to your Father. Last week, and then Mother's Day, Sunday, we had the children were singing. And I know you haven't forgotten it already. And I kind of was peeking around looking at some of the parents. I love to see the faces of the parents. I didn't tell Dwayne I was watching him today when Maria is singing. You know why? Because as exciting and joyful it is for us to listen to the children, there's something remarkable when it's your own child. And I'm sure as Kurt was watching his daughter and his wife. If you could have seen the beam of pride on his face, we could have turned the lights off. I mean, really. Because the children, God intended to shine a light on the parent. And how much more should the light extend back to the Heavenly Father, right? So we're going to read. I'm going to have you read it with me, if you don't mind, and ask you to stand, if you can, to honor the Word of God, Matthew 5:16. And in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Okay, so if you haven't memorized it yet, we'll do it one more time. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You may be seated. Thank you for being good sports. Okay. Bible says, in the same way. You know what that means? That means refer to what was just talked about. You always look at your context when you read the Bible. What was ahead of it? What's behind it? Get a context, get a complete picture. And in this portion, it's talking about previous where Jesus said, you are a city set on a hill. You cannot be hidden. You ever tried to hide out in plain view? You ever on a hill, you try to hide? Well, you can't even hide from the lightning. That's going to strike you first because you're higher. When you're up, when you're up, you are going to be seen. And so into our lovely word studies, again, if they bother you, please just close your eyes and, no, I'm kidding. Take what you can take from it. The word hidden in the Greek is crypto, and it's actually pronounced crypto, but that sounds an awful lot like some illness to me, so. But anyhow, means to be hidden or to hide. It's where we get our word crypt. Did you know that God does not want us down in the dungeon? He doesn't want us down in the mausoleum or down in the burial chamber. He wants us up high. But you say, but then people are going to know me. Yeah, that might happen. But guess who they really get to know? How in the world are they going to get to know the Father if they never meet the kids? They need to know the children. And hopefully and prayerfully that the children are a good testimony of the Father. Like I said, I don't remember if I said it at the business meeting or at the church, but if you're going to go steal something, just don't tell people where you attend church. That's all I ask. That's it. But other than that, we reflect. He said, you are hidden. This is a wonderful portion of Scripture. No question about it in the Beatitudes. And as I've said before, and I will say forever, the Beatitudes are not the do-attitudes. They are what you are. It's the Beatitudes. It's how we conduct our life. That is the main testimony. You can give the four spiritual laws, which is fabulous. You can share the ABCs of salvation. But if we do not live it before people, that message of the cross will actually do more harm. That is the truth. That's not in my notes, okay? But I like that. So, it says, your city set on a hill. On a hill. You're way up there. I don't know if you get vertigo or not, but I know the Lord will hold us up when we're up there. And the thing to keep in mind, what's the hill called? It's called Calvary. We stand in the authority and in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We do not stand in our own name. We do not even stand in the name of the church. We stand in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the hill we stand on. If you stand on any other hill, you'll be knocked off. And so will I. The Bible says we stand alone in the finished work of Jesus Christ. One of the great things about it is that they had to take the lamp, they had to take the light and put it up on a lampstand so it would shine brightly. We're that lampstand. We're that vessel. Now, I don't know about you, but if the lampstand's a little weak and shaky, you'd be awful careful when you got light on it. Years and years ago, in a church we were at, it was a beautiful service. I mean, it was candlelight. How can you go wrong with candlelight? And a gal that my sister Jan had invited is a lovely gal, and she had MS, is that what it was? Cerebral palsy. Okay, and we made a slight mistake because before she came, we kind of impersonated everybody that sang at the church, which tickled her. So every last one we impersonated got up and sang exactly the way we said they were going to sing. And it just tickled her, and it was night, and the lights are like this, and she's holding her candle as people are singing like this. This is when they use real fire, you know. And I'm sitting there going, okay, don't drop the candle. You know, I mean, we want to be on fire for Jesus, but not literally, you know. So if you're on a lampstand, let's make sure the stand is secure. Make sure it's not wobbly. Make sure it holds its place. Otherwise, we can have a problem. The other thing that's wonderful is that, you know, in Jesus Christ, he lifts us up. He doesn't tear us down. You will always be a better person. You'll be a better family member. You'll be a better employee or employer. You'll be a better person in the community. We ought to be a better person because of Jesus. He should lift us up. We should never be less. That would be not God's order. And so the Bible says, let your light, the word let means to allow. We have a choice. We don't have to let God do a thing. So we allow it. Let your light, the Greek word for light is phos, and it means a source of light and daylight. Do you know, even though we're in the day, we're really in the night in the world? In a sense, the world is getting darker. Can't you see it? You watch the news and you go, where do I live? I mean, do I live in the Twilight Zone or what? It doesn't look like anything I remember. I mean, it's changing day to day, minute by minute. The Bible says we're to shine in the day. Shine while it is still daytime, because the day is coming when it will be night and no man can work. John 9:4 says. And the word shine, which I love the word, and I said last week, but I don't know if Joyce was in here, but every time Joyce prays for the believers, she says, let us shine for you. I love the word shine. It's the word lampo, and it means to radiate, brilliance. It can mean I shine, and it's a beam. Do you remember the song in when you're a kid, want to be a sunbeam for Jesus? A beam is not the source. A beam comes from the source and shines, extends the light to another place. Now, That power that comes forth, just so you know, if you were an actual beam, you'd be hot. Because it has heat. I'd ask the Lord for some air conditioning around the heat. Because I dislike the heat. Which is why I'm glad I'm not going to hell. However, this light source is so powerful and so specific. It exposes darkness. And each one of us are like a flashlight. Now, some of you probably have seen this show or ones like it or you know of it in society. On CSI, in any kind of investigation, have you ever noticed the whole room is dark and they use these little flashlights? And I think to myself, how are you going to figure anything out using such a little flashlight? And then it occurred to me, well, if they had the lights on or they used a really big beam, they'd miss the little details they're looking for. Because they got to zero in on that hair, that DNA off that hair strand, or off that blood spatter. You need to be really detailed in the dark. If it's too broad of a swath, you might miss it. Each one of us is a flashlight of sorts. God's given us the opportunity in our life to shed the beam of Christ on a life, on a situation, circumstance, family, work, wherever we are, and he's given us enough light to shine for him. Don't worry about what anyone else is doing. Just be faithful to what God has asked you to do. And the Bible says, let your light so shine. Why? So others can see it. Others can see. They can see your good works. Keep in mind here that the light is not to shine on the person. It's to shine elsewhere. They can see your good works. It's not about seeing me or you. It's about seeing the work. It's about seeing what God can do. I'm up to here in yin and yang with a lot of the resumes and things of Christians, and particularly speakers and ministers that, you know, they're an evangelist, they're a prophet, they're this and that. They might as well just call themselves the king or queen and have it over with. We are a vessel, a lampstand. That's what we are. The brilliance comes from the light source. And if we are blessed to be able to radiate that light, all the better. But you didn't get nothing that you didn't get from God, whether it's your natural gifts or your spiritual gifts, maybe a good job, maybe a good brain. I'm always looking for people with a good brain because I don't consider I have one. But God gives those gifts, so he should get the glory for it, right? So others would see our good works to honor who? God himself, who's the giver of gifts, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, from the book of James. The visible is the only way people can see the presence of God. That's why Jesus came. He came in person. He made a house call because they couldn't see spiritually. It's like the Queen of England says, I have to be seen to be believed. So Jesus came once. He's coming again so people would believe. People would see something. How many times have you maybe it's just a gesture, doesn't seem like a big thing to you, but then somebody comes to you and says, God touched me so profoundly in what you just did. And it blows you away because you just figure it's not a major deal. But it could be to other people. You just never know. Always do and be what God wants you to be. The word good, which I've talked about a number of times, because it's God's adjective in creation, and it is the Greek word kalos here, meaning beautiful and good and worthy. And it also means it's an outward sign an act of something inner. Good. In other words, it reveals the inside. You can tell what? The tree by what? The fruit. You can tell it. That's how you, we're fruit pickers. We can determine it. I typed up my message this week so Nancy could see it. Now, an evidence of something that shows our life is imperative. It also tells us whether our works are for selfish means or if they are for God's means. That's the important thing. Bad deeds, bad behavior also reflects on the Father. It doesn't truly reflect in the sense that it's his fault, but it's not a good testimony. I was reading a story about a father in the city of Chicago, and it was the custom of this father, en route to his work in the morning, to go by the saloon for a drink. Apparently, he needed a pickup before he went to work. And as he was tracking his way over the newly fallen snow, he heard the piping voice of his little boy exclaiming, "Daddy, I'm a-coming in your steps. Daddy, I'm a-coming in your steps." Looking around, he saw the little boy walking in his footsteps, which he just made and which led straight to the saloon. And he said, as he cried out to God, "O God, if my boy is coming in my steps, by thy help, I'll track them in another direction." Because the truth is, we affect other people coming behind us, whether for good or for bad. It's like when we were leaving the cemetery after the committal service for Orville. We, of course, as usual, went the wrong way, and people followed us. That's the worst part. You know, we get lost. We don't mind because we kind of make a party out of it. But we meet all kinds of new people and see new things. But people behind us may not be so inclined. You know, we affect people. God help us to be walking toward him and his work, not our own life. And the Bible says that others may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who's in heaven. To glorify means, in the Greek, doxazon. It means to glorify. It's from the word doxa. To glorify and to glory in him. It's the same root as doxology. How many love the doxology? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Fabulous. Fabulous. Also comes from doxazo, meaning to render or esteem glorious, to honor and to bestow glory. Don't you find it fabulous that we can actually glorify the Heavenly Father? One wouldn't think he needs any more glory. He's already glorious, isn't he? He's majestic. He's all-powerful. And the fact that he allows any extension of our life to glorify him, to me, is an absolute amazing thing. It really is. The Bible talks about here, glorify your Father. I want you to note the word your. It's personal. It's personal. If you refer to him as God the Father, you're missing the point. He is God your Father. Or he's really not Father at all. It has to be personal. That's the important part of the scripture. In fact, one of the good things to do, if you like to do this, when you're reading through the scripture, and if it says the, just put my in there. If you have a relationship with Christ, put it in there. It's one of the great truths of the Bible. The Greek word sou means just that. It means yours. Jesus was talking to Mary Magdalene. You remember about her? He had cast 7 demons out of her. Would she be the kind of person you'd bring home to Daddy? I don't think so. I think the 6th time was enough. Probably the 1st was bad enough. But Jesus didn't say that. She came to him at the day at the tomb. She was going to touch him, and he said, "Don't touch me yet, because I haven't ascended." Didn't mean that he wasn't accessible. He just meant, "I haven't completed ascending into the presence of my Father." And then he goes on to say some of the greatest words. And always be aware in the Bible who he's talking to, because who he's talking to makes the verse even more powerful. And he says, "I have not yet ascended to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene's got to be going, "My God? Oh my gosh. He can be mine?" This a woman who was shunned by society, would have been thrown out of any church, more than likely. And he said, "I ascend unto my God, my Father, and yours." Fabulous. The word Father in the Greek, pater, it means one who imparts life and brings it forward and brings it into being. Comes from the word pa. Is that where they got ma and pa? I doubt it, but anyway. But it means nourisher and protector, upholder and generator of life. Guess what happens when your power goes out? The generator kicks in. God keeps you alive. God keeps you going. Because he's the real generator. He didn't just originate it. He continues it. And I was thinking about this because I thought, you know, when you think of beams that extend from the light source, which is the right focus, and it is the way nature teaches it, and it's the way it is meant to do. But then think about the fact that those beams that are meant to shine out really, ultimately, are supposed to reflect back to the original source and shine on the Father. Glorify him. And he'll say, "My beloved child in whom I am well pleased." And it'll be like the kid sitting up here singing. He'll look and he says, "That's my boy. That's my daughter." And it's not a bad sort of pride, by the way. It's a good one. I was reading a book that was talking about a sermon. I don't generally like other people's work, but that's okay. No, some of it's good. Several years ago, a minister in Cincinnati, Ohio, at the close of his sermon, felt led to do an unusual thing. Don't you get nervous when someone's going to do something unusual? It might include you. You get really nervous. You guys get really nervous. He said, "If there's someone here who is sick of sin and wants us to pray for you, raise your hand." Now, we do that pretty common here in some sense, but at this meeting, it was not normal. That'd be like going into my church when I grew up in a Lutheran church and asking somebody to raise their hand. The usher would have been there in 2 seconds flat, ripped you out of that chair, threw you out of that church. I'm not kidding you. I'm not even sure they were happy God was talking. But nonetheless, in this case, a young man sprang to his feet and he said, "Pray for me, sir. I am sick and I'm tired of sin." And the minister learned later that for 8 years, the boy had been a wanderer on the earth. The minister advised him to write home and tell his parents what he had done, that he had given his life to Christ. So he did, and after several days of anxious waiting, a letter came from his mother, but it was bordered in black. And if you know, at least at that time, anything bordered in black meant probably death and sorrow. "My dear son," she said, "the joy which your letter brought to our hearts was only exceeded by the sadness which was there at the same time. For as nearly as we can figure, the same hour you found Jesus as your Savior, your Father was going out into the skies. The very hour the man was praying for his son and is on his deathbed, ultimately, the son comes to Christ. Your father was going out, and he said all day long he tossed on his bed. Every little while he would cry out in misery. Oh God, save my poor, wandering, wayward boy today. It was on his heart continually. And as he passed away, he cried, oh God, save. That's the last words he ever spoke in this earth. Guess what? He woke up in heaven, and the prayer was answered. He finished the prayer in the presence of Jesus. Down at the bottom of the letter, the mother added a note, and she said, you're a Christian tonight because your father would not let God go. He hung on and said, don't let him go. His father's dying wish and prayer. And as he actually entered into life, so did his son at the same time. Now you want to talk about a beam from the son shining on the father? It shone on both of them, his earthly father and, more importantly, the heavenly father. Isn't it wonderful that the greatest work that can ever be done is done by the hand of God? Because if it's done by us and in our nature, it will last a moment. But if it's done by God, it will last forever. And that's what happened with this young man. God connects it all as the sun source, and he wants us to reflect him. I've said before, we resemble who we spend a lot of time with. I'm praying we spend more time with the Lord than we do with anybody. I certainly wouldn't want anyone to come up to me or about me and say, you know, she looks a little like the devil. Man, if I have his mannerisms, please tell me. But don't tell me after you had pizza, because it might not set well. But please tell me. That's important. God wants us to shine so that people can see our good works, not glorify us for it, but glorify him. Because if it glorifies man, it'll die right in the trough. But if it glorifies God, it'll have eternal consequences. Please bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we are extraordinarily grateful today. First of all, that you even want us, which is amazing. I mean, I can see, Lord, why you would have wanted man when you created man, because you created him perfect. But then sin came into this world, and why you still want us is just beyond the scope of our understanding. But I'm so glad that your ways are higher than our ways, and your thoughts than our thoughts. And we will never understand in our brain the love that you have. And then that you want us in our feeble life to shed that beam so that people can see there's life beyond and there's power within. And then that it will shed a light and a beam back to heaven, back to the source of the light, to honor the Father who gave the gift in the first place. It is the perfect circle, the perfect completion. And I thank you, Lord, for that today. I thank you, Lord, for your word. If you're here today, keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for a moment. And I don't know everybody's heart or circumstance in life, but I know one thing. He has to be your God, your Savior. Or he's just a story you tell. It won't mean anything for you eternally. And if you're here today and you'd say, you know, I've never made him my personal Savior. I know who he is. I've read about him. I've even heard about him. And I've studied him. But I've never truly made him my personal Master. You can do that today and shine the greatest light and the broadest smile on the face of God himself because that's why he came. And if you're here with an upraised hand and say, I'd like to do that today, I'd like to make him my personal Lord, you raise your hand so I can pray for you. Any other hands? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you know us personally. The Bible says you know everything about us. You are well acquainted with everything in our life. Why is it not, Lord, that we should know who you are and have a personal relationship with you? I pray for those who raise their hands that they would have an absolute confidence in their life, that they're not serving a dead Savior, that he's alive, and that he wants them personally and profoundly. And they can, in this moment, say, Lord, be my master, be my Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart so I can shed the light and show people that you're alive and thus glorify you. Father, I pray you touch them today in a very meaningful way. I pray for every father, every man that's here, Lord, that your blessing and your touch should be in their life. Lord God, to be a father, to be a head of a family is great responsibility. And I pray, Lord, that they'd find their strength in you, Lord Jesus, in a deeper way than they've ever experienced. Lord, because their family, in your eyes, is a treasure. And I pray, Lord God, that you would bless the treasure in every household, Lord, in a very, very remarkable way. Lord, I thank you for that young man that came to Christ. I thank you, Lord, that the Father didn't give up. And I pray that none of us would give up the course you have laid out for us. We just want to make sure that we're following you, not expecting you to follow our will. Lord, may we turn and follow you and let you be the master that you desire to be. Let your light shine through this church, Lord, to the darkness that's around us. And may you be glorified because of it. Father, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you to stand for the last song, one of my favorite songs, Shine.
Darkness, shine on me.
Amen. Again, happy Father's Day. Have a wonderful Father's Day. I'm going to ask Chester to come up and to close in prayer.
Praise the Lord. It's good to have been in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Father in heaven, we thank you that we have been able to gather here this morning in your name, the name above all names, the name with all power and authority and glory. And Lord, we pray that you just help each one, Lord, as we go to our homes, that we will have received something this morning that will help our lives honor and glorify your name. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.